Paul once said, as he met the people, "Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." In view of all the mercies of God, every once in a while, I believe that each and every one of us should make a decisive dedication back of our mind, our bodies, our souls, and presenting all of our members and our faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted and consecrated, and well-pleasing to you, God. Join with me now as we, as the body of Christ, which is reasonable, rational, intelligent, in service and spiritual worship of our Lord God, come together today and recommit ourselves to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is not in my own strength, for it is you, Lord God. And I pray that you would pray this prayer with me, brothers and sisters. For it is not in our strength, but it is because of who lives within our hearts, in our souls, who is all the while effectually at work in each of us, energizing us, creating within each of us the power and the desire, both to the will and to the work, for God's good pleasure and the satisfaction and the delight in God. Father, I pray that each and every one of us, whether it be in the church or listening on this broadcast, I pray that each of us will not draw back or shrink in fear, for then our souls would, your heart, your very existence would have no delight or pleasure in each of us. I was bought for a price. We were all purchased with the preciousness and paid for. We were made your very own through the grace and the blood of your only begotten. So then, may we take this time, this day, to honor you, Lord, and bring glory to you in our bodies, our minds, our spirits, our souls. We call upon you in days of trouble, and you deliver us. And we shall honor and glorify you every day of our lives. Today I have chosen to rejoice because you delivered me and those that are listening and praying with me and drew us to yourself, out of the control and out of the dominion of darkness, that obscurity. And you transferred me and those listening into the kingdom of the Son of your love. Today, we recommit unto you, Lord God. We confess and we praise you. O Lord, my God, with my whole united heart, I pray those that are listening will glorify your name forever and forever and forever. Amen and amen. Would you grab your Bibles, please? Would you lift them high? And if you can't lift them, I know many of you are homebound. If you can't lift them high, hold them to your heart. Just hold them to your heart and repeat with me these words. This is my Bible. It is the infallible Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. Amen and amen. Praise Jesus. Would you turn your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew, the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 11. Let's go to chapter 11 and verse 15, which would be our memory verse for today. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. Write it down, for it is our memory verse for this week. He that hath ears to hear, let them hear. I'm paraphrasing. He that hath ears to hear, let them hear. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the New Testament church. We talked about how many want Gospel of Faith Church to return to the place that it once was, where it used to be standing room only. Many things got done. We served the Lord. These are all things that was the greatness of the church. A church that was born of the New Testament. And so in the last 2 weeks, I've said, let's not return to the past, but go move forward into the future. And we wanted to see what a church was, what God's church was meant to be, and how it was born of the New Testament. And part of that, as we continue this week, I think the most important part of that was they were told to wait upon the Lord and to pray, to pray. They were instructed to wait upon the Lord until the Holy Spirit moved. And the only way that would happen is through prayer. Amen? Through prayer. So today I want to talk about that. We've got the church moving in the New Testament direction. We find that we're seeing more and more Gospel of Faith Church in the feeling and in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk to you today about the power of prayer, the power of God's prayer in the church. And I want you to hear this. Prayer is the most boring, empty, meaningless, humdrum, tiresome, unexciting thing you can possibly do on planet Earth unless, say the word unless, unless you learn how to hear from God when you pray. Do you hear from God when you pray? See, prayer is meant to be a two-way communication. Say it with me. Prayer is a two-way communication. It's you talking to God and then God talking back to you through the Holy Spirit. To get the mind of God into your heart and into your life. So I again ask you, when you pray, does the Holy Spirit respond to you? And do you hear the Lord in your heart? People say, well, if God spoke to me, I'd know it. I don't believe that. Because God spoke to Samuel 3 times in the same night, and he had to be told it was God. Most of us think God speaks like Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. This is God talking. Then we would believe it was God. Who do you feel? Who do you hear from when you pray? Because if you don't hear from God, it's very boring, it's very meaningless, it's very empty experience. So let's read in Matthew 11. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 11 and 15. Matthew 11 and 15. Ready? He that hath ears, let him hear. I always paraphrase. He that hath ears, let them hear. Let's read it again. Ready? He that hath ears, let them hear. That means it is a choice. It is a choice. You choose to hear from God. Pray with me, won't you? Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this day, this wonderful Sabbath day. And thank you for those who are listening to the broadcast today. May this day change their lives forever as they learn how to hear from God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You see, the Bible very plainly states, he that hath ears to hear, put your hands upon both ears, take a little tug, and let him hear, it says. Hearing is a choice. Say it with me. Hearing is a choice. Do you know why most people don't hear from God? It's because they don't want to hear from God. We are doing what we like, and we like when we like it. We do what we like when we like it and how we like it. And we would not dare want to hear from God telling us to stop. How many of you know that we don't pray like we ought to because we really don't want to hear God's answers, right? We know it's not what we want to hear. America has moved to what I call decaffeinated Christianity. Decaffeinated Christianity won't keep you awake. It won't excite you. It won't motivate you. And it certainly won't change your life. The fact is, God has given everyone the ability to hear him. And we do not hear because of the lack of willingness to hear him. The lack of willingness. We don't want to hear him. Plain and simple. How many have children, grandchildren? You see, this new phenomenon demonstrates it every week. You tell a child, please carry out the garbage. And he says, huh? He doesn't want to hear you. You tell that child, clean up your room. And he goes, huh? You could whisper it. Let's go to the mall. And boom, they're in the car. You whisper, let's go to McDonald's. Boom, they're there. But you say, carry out the garbage. As loud as you can yell. You can raise your voice. And they still say, huh? I didn't hear you. And then, just as you threaten to maim them for life, they get up and they begin to move over towards the garbage can, as slow as molasses flowing uphill. Do they hear you the first time? You betcha they do. Why did they not respond until the third time? Because they don't want to hear from you. And I say this to you and to you and to you and in your prayer life. Beware when God begins to hear every prayer that you pray. If you really want to know what God is saying, go home and read all the verses that you do not have underlined in red. God answers prayer. But he answers the prayers on his terms. I want you to listen very closely here. God says to Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go forth to Nineveh. And Jonah says, huh? And God says, Jonah, read my lips, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, huh? I don't want to. Jonah goes and he gets a travel agent to book him on a slow boat going in the opposite direction. Did God wring his hands and say, oh no, he's just not listening to me? No, that was not how God works. Because God is in charge. With a blast of God's nostrils, he breathed on the sea and he made it began to churn in a mass of water. And the sailors threw Jonah overboard. And now listen to Jonah. Oh, wait, God, wait, God, help me, God, help me. And from the other side of the cloud, God says, huh? Is that you, Jonah? Is that you calling for help? I thought I'd be hearing from you about now, Jonah. I thought I'd be hearing from you. God said, do you have your ears on, Jonah? Are you willing to begin to listen to me now? So God prepares the Old Testament version of Jaws as he sends through the surf looking for a disobedient Old Testament preacher. Oh, there he is. Gulp. Can you hear Jonah? As he screams in terror, God, God, as he's swallowed up by this great fish. Past the lips and over the gum, look out, stomach, here comes Jonah. Jonah, oh, Jonah, can you hear me now? Yes, God, oh, yes, God, I'll go to Nineveh now, God. I'll go anywhere you tell me to go. I'll come to church, I'll pay my tithe. Just get me out of this whale's belly, please, God. God says, I'm glad you've had a change of heart, Jonah. You see, church, God never forces you to hear him. He just puts the opinion, his opinion in you. He just puts oppositions in such a way that you're happy to hear from him. You're glad to hear from him. You either get out of the beach, get out on the beach, or you begin to beg, big. Oh, big fish. It's your choice. I had a man tell me, preacher, I'll never confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'll never will. Interesting that he knew that Jesus was a Savior, huh? I said, oh, yes, you will. The Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. It doesn't say some. It says every. I said, and I say to you today, on this side of the grave, the smart ones will hear the Lord, but God does give out hearing aids in hell. There's a reason God gave us one mouth and two ears. Maybe we should close one and open both ears. God does have hearing aids. For those of you who are hard-headed, whenever the Lord calls and you say, huh? Please understand, God isn't wringing his hands in worry, saying, "Oh, what shall I do? How will I reach those folks? How will I ever, ever get their attention?" In just a moment, a moment in God's time, you may say, in your darkest time, you may say, "God, is that you talking? God, is that you I'm hearing?" God says, "It is I. Are you ready to listen? He that hath ears, let them hear." When you pray, God hears. When you begin to hear God, you'll say, "Yes, Lord." Say that with me. "Yes, Lord." Those of you who have developed a spiritual sensitivity to God, whenever God calls you, say, come on, say it with me. Say it with meaning. "Yes, God. Yes, God." Amen. That's where it's at. Those of you who have hard-headed and pride yourself with hard-headedness will say, "Huh?" And God is preparing a great fish on a bolt of lightning to get your attention. You see, God operates on the rheostat principle. How many of you know what the rheostat principle, how it works? You want the light just on, dim, you turn it, the knob, a little bit. You want it on medium, you turn the knob a little bit more. But each time, it allows a little bit more electricity to flow. You really want to make it shine, bam, you crank to full. When God speaks to you, he just turns it up. He turns up the juice a little bit. And if you're really smart, you say, "Yes, Lord, got it." And if you're really thick-minded, you say, "Huh?" And God says to the angels in heaven, "Hit it for the old blanket head. Just turn it all the way to the right." And again, he speaks. And you say, "Huh?" And God says, "Give them the full force." And wow, the angel says, "Yeah." And you look like a cat that just sit down on a 220 wire, volt wire, and all of his hair is standing on end. And you shout, "Yes, Lord." Everybody shouts, "Yes, Lord." Lift your hands to heaven and give him praise. God says, "I thought you might about now get, I would get your attention." Hello. You see, when you hear in the supernatural, you hear from three sources. You hear from yourself, and you hear from Satan, and you hear from the Holy Ghost. There's three voices you can hear from. The self is the carnal man or woman. The carnal self will want what you want when you want it. Life's not Burger King. And when you don't want God to interfere with your plans, the self will want creature comforts. The self will not want the sacrificial crucified life. The self will not want, or will want, excuse me, what pleases the self. The small boy prayed, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having fun just like I am." That's self talking. Another prayed, "Lord, lead us not into temptation, just tell us where it is, and we'll find it all by ourselves." That's the self-praying. You see, get suspicious when God answers every prayer, just like you want him to. You should be suspicious of that. You may be hearing from yourself. Secondly, you can hear from Satan. See, the devil is speaking to this generation more than ever before in Ash Fork, Juniper Woods, the surrounding areas, and America, all the way around the world. And they are all listening. He's speaking through their music, their dress, their attitudes. And he speaks to everyone through the occult, ESP, palm reading, psychics, fortune tellers, and this new age spiritualism. Listen, every time you read a horoscope or you are not only out of the will of God, you're opening your mind to the satanic forces and the satanic voice that will destroy you. Listen to the Lord thy God. Satan wants to. He wants to rob and to kill and destroy. And that's his objective for you and your life, for you and your family, for you and your children. And if you'll just give him one negative thought, wham, he'll come in and take over your mind, your heart, and your body. And the only way you can be set free is by the deliverance of the blood of the cross, by the deliverance of he who died for your sins, to wash you in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says Satan is a deceiver. Say it with me. Satan is a deceiver. The Bible says bringing every thought into captivity. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I say this to you today. Gospel of Faith Church, you are on the right track, becoming a New Testament church, following the New Testament church, doing as they did. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, to be like-minded with Christ. But I forewarn you, Satan is a deceiver, and he will try to take the word of God and twist it and cause you to take the word of God and deceive many and yourself. Remember this, when Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness to tempt him, he misquoted scripture twice, trying to get Jesus to jump from the temple. But Jesus knew the word of God much better. And he properly quoted from the scripture and rebuked the devil. My point is this. We need to teach the word of God. We need Bible studies. If Satan used scripture to try to trick Jesus into destroying himself, Satan will use scripture to try to trick you into destroying the church, you and your family. Don't you ever forget that the devil knows the word of God. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say in closing. Many Christians find one verse of scripture and they begin to build their lives on that scripture. Don't build your life on one verse of doctrine. That's called prophet text Christianity. Say it with me. Prophet text Christianity. You can take one verse and prove anything you want to. You think not, a man and his son come to me for counseling. The boy wants a motorcycle. I tell this because it's true. It happened right there at Gospel of Faith Church. The boy wants a motorcycle, so he asked me, his pastor, if him and his dad could come in for counseling. Before I could even open with a prayer, the boy said, "Preacher, didn't David ride through Jerusalem on a motorcycle?" And I said, "What?" He said, "The Bible said David's triumph was known throughout all of Israel. It wasn't a Harley, but it was a motorcycle." And on the basis Oh, Lord. On that basis, Hell's Angels was a spiritual group. Or, if you just take two verses and it says, and Judas hanged himself, another verse, go forth and do likewise. Then suicide becomes a sanctified by God, according to that logic. So we cannot just take one or two phrases out of the Bible. That's the devil's work. Don't let Satan deceive you by building your life on just a verse or a few verses. Let the composite word of God interpret from within the word of God. Give your leadership for your life so that Satan does not ensnare you with prophet text Christianity. Be very careful of that, Gospel of Faith Church. Then you can hear from the Holy Spirit. How do I know I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit, you ask? The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit has a personality. That personality is that of the dove. It's very gentle. It's very loving. It's full of peace, love, joy, mercy. Those are the dispositions of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, every gift that the Holy Spirit gives will comfort you. It will exhort you. It will build you up. Now listen to what I'm about to say. If some nitwit comes along and says, I have a word for you, and that word brings you fear or worry or dread, you are not hearing from God. You're not hearing from Jesus. You're not hearing from the Holy Spirit. You're hearing from a religious fanatical. I've had people call me for prayer where some religious nut told them to be very careful or both their children would die. And they would pray for them for a certain amount of money. Now, doesn't that just bless you right out of your socks? Or the Lord God said, your finances will fail you. And for $9.95, they'll give you a free TV blessing. Ha. Doesn't that just thrill you? Now, if God gives them a way out of that, but first, to drop something into their spirit that will torment, that's what they do. I want you to know that has nothing to do with God. Any inner voice that you hear while praying that brings fear or pressure or intimidation or manipulation or domination, doubt or worry, is not from God. Get that in your mind, please. We serve a loving God, a compassionate God. And don't you ever let that go. He's the God of love. Now let me give you some substitutes that we use when we don't have time to hear from God or we choose not to hear from God. Substitutes for hearing from God. One, the first substitute is how-to books. Many people have quit reading the Word of God, and they started reading Dr. Super Duck's books on how to, into how I did it, and how you ought to do it in order to be saved. I want you to understand this, and I want you to hear this, church. Get into the Word of God for yourself, like you ought to. Find out when to. How to, because it's God's will for your life to. Hear me. You measure other men by the word of God. You do not measure the word of God by other men. The truth is, if you crawl out on that limb with Shirley MacLaine, it's going to break. You're going to fall. Listen to me. Truth is not what I say it is. The truth is not what you say it is. The truth is what God says it is, and it is not the truth until God's word is plainly, plainly spoken. Stand on this, and you'll know the peace of God. Somebody lift your hands to heaven and shout amen and amen and amen. Substitute number two is this armchair Christianity. Say it with me, armchair Christianity. Well, I don't need to hear from God. I can sit right here in my armchair. I don't have to hear from God. I don't have to attend church. I don't have to tithe. I know all I need to know about the Bible. Just you ask me. Armchair Christianity is the devil's own tool of confusion. And many, many, many newborn Christians have fallen because of an armchair Christian. You need to learn to hear from God yourself. And thirdly, a substitute for hearing from God is prophecy from self. Anointed prophets who are not prophets at all, people who claim to know the will of God in your life, those people that walk around saying, well, what you need, you know them kind of people, stop listening to them and get into the will of God through the word of God. Somebody say amen. Words from God through others or other people it just doesn't work unless it's from God. But God wants to speak directly to you. Open your heart. If you go to an altar call and somebody lays hands on you, you'll feel it and you'll know it'll come through from God. If it doesn't, step back. God wants to speak directly to you and to you and to you and to you. God loves you. And yes, God wants to speak directly to you. God is no respecter of persons. The word of God says, call upon me and I will answer thee. Say it with me. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that you know not. God will hear your prayers. He will answer you, but you must hear when he answers. You must hear when he answers. They are seven hindrances, very quickly, that keep you from hearing from God. Sin will always short-circuit your prayers. David said in Psalms 6 and 18, maybe it's 66 and 18, I believe. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And if there is sin in your life, God does not hear your prayers. They bounce from the ceiling right to the floor. So what is sin? The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is an attitude. It can be resentment, a bitterness, a hatred, a jealousy, an arrogance. Sin can be an act on an emotion. It can be anger, fear, pride, lust. Sin can be a thought pattern, an angry, a fight fought over and over and over again in your mind. The past relived many, many times. That's why we say the past is the past. That's why it's called the past. Leave it there. Sin is godless speech, criticism, fault-finding, accusations, tale-bearing, and gossip. There's the big one. Is there sin in your life? Then God doesn't hear your prayers. You must confess it. You must first confess it. The second hindrance is tradition. Say the word with me, tradition. The seven words of a dying church are, we've never done it that way before. Gospel of Faith Church, listen to it. We've never done it that way before. Then change it to follow God's word. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you have taken the tradition of your fathers and made them more important than the word of God. Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and they said, hey, we have a law that says you can't do anything on the Sabbath day. God can't move on the Sabbath day. tradition says, it has to be as dead, dull, and as boring as possible. How many of you know that tradition is very much alive in today's churches? God's not welcome here. That's what they say. We don't want the Holy Spirit to move here. I was told one time we had to lock the Holy Spirit in a box and could open the box only once a month. I could only do communion once a month. I could only have altar call once a month. That's a dead church. And it did die. Yes, he's on our creed. But if the Holy Spirit begins to move and we can't control it, brother, that's the last thing we want. That's tradition. Brother, my prayer is, God, blow the lid off a Gospel of Faith church and let the Holy Ghost move to the glory of God and the Father. Hallelujah. The third hindrance in having from hearing from God is your strength. Listen to me. Your strength can't be a weakness. When people become arrogant, I'm talented, I'm smart, I have money, I have powerful friends, I really don't need to hear from God right now. I've got $50,000 in the bank, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, all the kids are healthy, everything is fine. I don't need God right now. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. For God will humble you. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. David said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Because the moment of the Holy Spirit leaves you, you are all on your own. And the devil will grab you. And when you get sufficient enough to do it on your own, God reaches over and turns off your prosperity. Ask Job what happened. God was not made for your convenience. We were created by God. He is the Holy One. He is the Righteous One. He is the Exalted One. And He alone is worthy for our praise. Can you give Him praise and glory today? We will live as though God does not even exist, people said. Or we live as though God is some senile old blind man who doesn't see nothing, hear nothing, or speak nothing until we need something. And then it's, God, hello, God. You can come out now. We need you. That's what we hear. God is not our servant. He's not our butler. We don't keep him in a box and then open the box and say, help me, love me, forgive me. I promise, Lord, I'll be good. You see, your lips speak fleshly words, but God hears the truth from your heart. It's not going to pray anyone. I'm not going to go to church, you said. I'm not going to tithe, you said. And as soon as you answer this prayer, I'll quit talking to you again. That's what you're saying. Pastor, you're being overdramatic. No, I'm not. One of the gifts of the Spirit is discernment of the spirits. So the next time you try to con God in prayer, you think about that. You think about that. If you're not willing to serve God, then don't. America needs to stop making God their last chance and begin to make God their first choice. Amen and amen. Jesus said, they who will not forsake father, mother, sister, brother, is not worthy of me. The Bible says, if your hand offends thee, cut it off, for it is better to enter heaven maimed than not to enter heaven at all. When we walk through those doors, beware that your tongue does not offend God, for this is God's most holy temple. And fourthly, a lack of spiritual sensitivity will keep you from hearing from God. The Bible says, as many as would receive, to them God gave the power. What power? The power to become the sons and daughters of God. Are you listening? God says, I will guide you with my eye, the Bible says. As many as you have been led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. People tell me over and over and over again, I pray and pray, and God never answers my prayers, Pastor. You're out of the will of God. God answers, you just don't want to listen. Because it's not what self wants to hear. You need to become spiritually sensitive to what God is saying. How? Get into the Word of God. Get into the altar. Get into the church. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Say it with me. Pray without ceasing. I remember my cousin Beverly. I remember one that absolutely would not mind. If you pulled the rein left, one of her horses, if you pulled the rein left, it wouldn't go left. It would go right. And it would fight the bit until its mouth would bleed. One guy even wrapped the bit with barbed wire, and that horse absolutely would not come into obedience. It would rip its face off, and it would finally begin to turn. Many Christians are likened to that horse. Look good. Look, God, I'm going this way. And God says, hey, I can pull the side of your face off if that's what it'll take. The smart one says, yes, Lord. The dumb one says, huh? When God is speaking, say yes, Lord, and then do it. The fifth hindrance to prayer is pretense. How many of you know that Christians often lie when they pray? They get down and they say, oh God, thank you for the victory today. And the bill collectors are beating on their door, three deep. Kids are in jail. IRS wants to audit you. And on the way back to the Civil War era, Pastor Davenport wants me to teach Sunday school or sing in the choir without music. Get down and say, Lord God, my life is in a mess down here on this earth, and you're the only one that can help fix it. That's how I pray. You don't have to read your prayer from some book. You don't have to pray in the King James Version, you know. You can pray from your heart. It just needs to come from your heart and your soul. And the devil will send a wandering thought. Can you keep from hearing from God? How many of you know when you get down to pray, suddenly into your mind races every nitpicking thought that you haven't thought of in years? Zip, 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 zip. Everything's coming through, constantly changing, stopping you from praying. How many of you have ever done that? The rest of you have never prayed then. Do you know who's doing that? That's the devil himself. Researchers are telling us that television is teaching Americans how not to concentrate. We're watching short, stimulating entertainment programs that have no substance and no plot. And we're becoming mental vegetables. And do you know how to concentrate? Mental vegetables. Guy came home from work. His wife had made an early dinner, put the main course on, the meat, mashed potatoes and gravy. Her husband says, well, where's the vegetables? The wife said, oh, they're still at school. See, our children's minds are not being challenged. And a mind is a terrible thing to waste. One of the ways that you can resolve that is with prayer and a prayer journal. I keep a prayer journal. It reminds me of what I'm praying for. When I'm praying and fasting and what that's for. what I'm praying about and the day God answered. And brother, when you go down through the prayer journal, it will bless your soul to recount that God things, all the things that God have done and the Lord has done for those people you're praying for. I know Brother Al, my prayer partner, I know he's a prayer warrior for all the church, and I know he feels the same way. You know, it's miraculous when you pray and you pray for someone and God moves. It's awesome. See, I'm celebrating the victory today because on this day, I was bound with cancer. And Gospel of Faith Church laid hands on me. I had stomach cancer. Cancer of the esophagus. And the church laid hands on me. And in my prayer journal, it tells how they laid hands on me and the entire church came forward. That's a tough thing for me. I have PTSD. To have all those people laying hands on me. But I, through the Lord, I was able to bear it. They laid hands on me. They anointed me with oil. This is many, many years ago. And I'm speaking to you today, cancer-free. Because of God's miracles. I looked, before I did this message, I looked back. We had a person come to the church who was addicted to heroin, had been in rehab and been in rehab and been in rehab. And every time he went back to the drugs, on June 5th, I won't give the name and I won't give the year, but on June 5th, many years ago, he was delivered at the altar of Gospel Faith Church. He was delivered. He was delivered by the hand of God. He fell to the floor. I talked to that young man not too long ago. Well, he's not a young man anymore. He lives in Phoenix. He's in the ministry. Brother Barnett's ministry. And he's clean. Praise God. He's clean. And I praise your mighty holiness, God. I praise your mighty name. That you have answered those prayers for Gospel of Faith Church, that body of Christ. I praise you and I bless you, God, for who you are and for what you have done throughout the years, for the prayers you have answered, and that those people have the victory because of Jesus Christ, their Lord and their Savior. I praise you, Lord God. I wish and I pray that this new beginning of this New Testament church here at Gospel of Faith Church and those that are hard laborers, you know who you are, that labor to make that church a New Testament church with this, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That church would thrive. That, Lord God, you would send the helpers, the leadership they need. To guide that church. Help my health, Lord God, that I might return, not full time, that I might return at least every other weekend to help. In Jesus' name I pray. Seventh entrance, final, and in closing. Everybody knows when I preach, I'll say in closing 20 times. The seventh hindrance to hearing from God is environment. Jesus prayed in the garden, which was an environment conclusive to prayer. I say by the grace of God that we will one day have both a prayer chapel and a prayer garden here at Gospel of Faith Church. That was the original plan, that we would have an outside prayer chapel that people could stop and pray in, where you will be able to feel the presence of God when you walk through and you pray. Jesus taught about the prayer closet. Why? Because it was conclusive to prayer. When you pray at home, you're about to enter into your private conversation with the Holy Father, your Creator. You put the cat outside, you turn off the television and lock the doors. You put out the do not disturb sign, get the Bible, dust it off. Get something to write with, because you're going to hear from the most powerful force in all the universe. And if you don't, the cat will climb the wall, neighbors that you haven't heard from in months, relatives you haven't seen in decades will begin to pound on the door. Suddenly they want to visit with you. The TV and the radio will come on, go off, come on by itself. Why? Because you got down on your knees to pray. And the devil doesn't want you to know how to pray. And most assuredly, the devil doesn't want you to get an answer from God. Here are four ways you can know that you are hearing from God and not your carnal self or from Satan himself. Listen carefully as we close. When you're in the presence of Almighty God praying, God will never tell you something to do that is contrary to the Word of God. If you go to the altar and you pray for God to meet you, your financial needs, and then see some lady's purse full of money at the altar, God did not supply your need financially. Return it to her. Sarcasm that hurts another human being is a sin. Do you hear what I just said? When you're praying, God will never tell you something that is not in his word. Secondly, God's voice will not disturb your peace. Philippians 4:6 says, "And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind through Christ." Now I want to explain the difference between condemnation and conviction. Listen closely. Condemnation comes from Satan. Satan will come to you and say, "Do you remember that sin of last week or 3 months ago or what you did in 1965, 75, or 85? He will go back into your past and dredge everything up that you have ever done, and he will attack your personhood. He will attack your self-worth. He will make you feel like a crumb and a bum. And finally, when you get through with that, you will feel like you've been dragged through a sewer backwards. You're sorry you got down to pray." That's not God speaking. That's not God speaking to you. That's the devil himself. And when that happens, you say, "Satan, I recognize this is you. Get out of my mind. Get out of my life. Get out of my speech in Jesus' name. My sins are forgiven. My past is behind me. I am free in the name of the Son of God." And then you give God praise. The third thing, God always deals with today. Satan always deals with the future or the past. Listen up. Please listen to this. Jesus, while he was teaching in the book of Matthew, said, take no thought of tomorrow. Say it with me. Take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. That's the devil himself working on you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Say it with me. Today is the day of salvation. I pray we are in a battle for this New Testament church. Rejoice, Gospel of Faith Church. Rejoice and be happy because God has never failed you. Hallelujah. 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 Can you give God praise? Lift your hands to heaven and shout amen. Father, in Jesus' name, let us today hear from the Lord that our lives might be changed by your infinite grace. How many of you can say, Pastor, I need to hear from God today? But I cannot because there's sin and disbelief in my life. Circumstances where I need to receive God's forgiveness. I pray, Lord. Compulsions, addictions, bitterness, resentments, talebearing, accusations of others, arrogance. But I need the Lord today in Jesus' name to forgive me of my sin in my life. Sin. Sin is a man that knoweth to do right, but doeth it not. To that man it is sin. I wonder if you're in this broadcast right now listening to the sound of my voice, would you just come? Will you just bow your head? Would you say it with me right now? Lord, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you and others. But I've listened, and I know that Jesus Christ, your Son, died for my sin. And then you raised him from the dead. I ask, Lord, that Jesus becomes the Lord of my life. I renounce the devil, and I ask you to change my life as I lay down my life, the old life, for you, and pick up a new life in Jesus Christ. Fill me with thy Spirit. Fill me with thy blood, that I might be saved. This I ask with all my heart, that Jesus would guide and direct me. In his name I pray, amen and amen. My friend, as we begin to change the church, to a New Testament church, I pray that each and every one of you would support Gospel of Faith Church by being there as much as you can. I know it's winter and I know the roads get muddy and snowy, but as much as you can support them. Financially, if it's $1, $5, whatever you can give, please. There's much going on. There will be fixing up as spring comes, it needs to be done. It's an old church. It needs help. Please support it. And God says, by doing this, he will add to the body daily. Pray for your leaders of the church. Pray that God would guide them in the ways that he would want them to go. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, I encourage you to find a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church and ask them to baptize you for the remission of your sins, and I welcome you to the family of God. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon each of you until we are back again. God bless you.